Hi, welcome to Parsha Perusal. This is Pastor Sam from Northern California, and I'm glad to be with you today. I took a break, I believe, last week. We didn't do the Torah portion last week. We'll pick that up next year, actually, when it comes around. Today, we're going to be looking at the Parsha Toldot. And it's found in Genesis 25, 19, and it goes through Genesis 28, 9. We're just going to be looking at the first part of this Torah portion, Genesis 25, 19 through 34, and we're going to be looking at that. But, you know, I just had something happen to me that was really, really an awesome adventure. I was able to go away to a conference of Jews and Muslim background believers that came together worshiping the Lord. The descendants of Isaac and the descendants of Ishmael and Esau coming together, being one in Messiah, one in Christ. You know, what an awesome opportunity that was. And so I just want to encourage you today because, you know, God really is so good, and he loves us. He loves all of his people. And so I want to include, I want to talk a little bit about Abraham and Isaac. I want to include some of the things that happened right before this Torah portion, as well as the things within this Torah portion for maybe a slightly different way of looking at things. Anyway, so let's go ahead and dive right in. Father, we just pray right now as we look at this passage of scripture. We just ask for your understanding by your Holy Spirit. We pray this in Yeshua's name. Amen. Genesis 25, verse 19 says, "This is the genealogy of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begot Isaac. Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah as wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Padan Aram, the sister of Laban, the Syrian." Before we get into this too much, we know Isaac is the child of promise that came through Sarah. Sarah was 90 years old when she gave birth to Isaac. Not supposed to be able to have a baby at that age, but it was a miracle, something incredible that God did by giving her this child. But before that, Abraham had a concubine named Hagar, and there was a son born through Hagar. Hagar was Sarah's servant and Abraham's concubine. And so the son born through Hagar is named Ishmael. And it was very interesting because in this conference that we just had, Dr. Fossil of Malik shared with us some interesting information regarding Ishmael and Isaac. And as I just said a few minutes ago, the conference that I was at called the Convergence up in Vancouver in British Columbia, this conference was between Muslim background believers and Jewish background believers, all being together, all being one in Christ. How does that play into this Torah portion? Well, I'll tell you, because the descendants of Ishmael are, for the most part, Muslim today. They are literally all spread out all throughout the Middle East. Most of your countries in the Middle East are descendant of Ishmael. One of the 12 tribes that came from Ishmael. There were also 12 tribes that came from Ishmael. And these descendants are predominantly followers of the Islamic or Muslim faith today. So, you know, what is God doing with Ishmael today? What is God doing with Ishmael today? Well, I believe that he is still very active working with Ishmael, primarily because Abraham specifically said, "God, please remember Ishmael and bless him." And God said he would be with Ishmael. He would hear Ishmael. And, you know, that's very important for us to realize that Even though a lot of the pain and and issues that we may have today, especially if you're Jewish, come from Ishmaelites, the descendants of Ishmael, that God still has a plan for them as well. And it's a good plan, just like he has a good plan for Israel. He has a good plan for Ishmael. And one of the things that Dr. Malik really brought out in this conference was how God uses Ishmael throughout history to save Isaac, to save the descendants of Isaac. What do we mean by that? Well, I gave one example of when Jacob's sons were getting ready to throw to kill Joseph, some Ishmaelites came along, and instead of killing Joseph, they sold him to the Ishmaelites. Those Ishmaelites took him to Egypt. He was sold as a slave there to Potiphar, and God, through that, brought deliverance to all Egypt and also to all of Joseph's family, all of Israel. And so God worked through Ishmael to get Joseph out of that situation where he was going to die. There's other situations throughout history where Ishmael had been there, what was there at just the right time to save Isaac. So God has been working, and even though there was there's animosity between these two and a clear break, yet God is so good, and he always has a plan, and especially if he promises, which he promised to Abraham, that he would do good to Ishmael. But now this particular Torah portion is talking about Isaac and the descendants of Isaac, and we see that Isaac pleaded with the Lord for his wife, verse 21, that's Genesis 25:21, because she was barren, and the Lord granted his plea, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. But the children struggled together within her, and she said, "If all is well, why am I like this?" So she went to inquire of the Lord. So the children inside of Rebekah were struggling, were fighting with each other, even in the womb, they were already fighting with each other. And the Lord said to her, "Two nations are in your womb. Two people shall be separated from your body. One people shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger." So when her days were fulfilled for her to give birth, indeed, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red. He was like a hairy garment all over. So they called his name Esau. Afterward, his brother came out, and his hand took hold of Esau's heel, so his name was called Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old. So Isaac was 60 years old when she bore them. So you have these two boys that come out. One is hairy all over, and he's reddish in color, so they call him Esau, which means red. And the other one, Yaakov, comes out holding on to Esau's heel, so they call him Surplanter, one or heel grabber is basically what he's called, one who grabs the heel. Not the best of names for either one of them, but especially heel grabber. So you see that God has already told Rebekah that there's two nations in her womb, two peoples are going to come out of her body. One people will be stronger than the other, and he's already told her that the older shall serve the younger. So Rebecca is already getting a favorite in all of this, because of course you want to be with the one who's going to dominate. And so it says that the older will serve the younger. Verse 27, so the boys grew, and Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field, but Jacob was a mild man dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he ate of his game, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Now Jacob cooked a stew, and Esau came in from the field, and he was weary. And Esau said to Jacob, "Please feed me with some of that red stew, red lentil stew, for I am weary." Therefore his name was called Edom. But Jacob said, "Sell me your birthright as of this day." And Esau said, "Look, I'm about to die, so what is this birthright to me?" Then Jacob said, "Swear to me of this day." So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. And Jacob gave Esau bread and stew of lentils. Then he ate and drank and arose and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. What a fascinating story you have here. So first of all, Rebekah's already aware that the younger is going to dominate over the older. And yet, at the same time, he doesn't dominate by strength of his hand or his legs or by power. He dominates in his mind, through the mind. You know, he convinces and works. And that's what we see Jacob doing here to Esau. And Jacob, you know, a lot of people have really come down on Jacob because he did this to Esau. But Jacob was aware of things. He was aware that Esau really didn't care much about his birthright. Jacob did care about the birthright. The birthright was very important. Jacob had a spiritual nature where Esau did not. Esau's nature was very carnal, very earthy, very focused on what was around him and not at all really that interested in a relationship with God. And that counts again against Esau quite a bit here. So we see that Jacob he cooks a stew. Esau came in from the field, probably hunting. He's weary, he's tired. And Esau says to Jacob, "Please feed me with that same red stew, for I am weary." Therefore, his name was called Edom. Okay. But Jacob said, "Sell me your birthright as of this day." And here's the thing. Esau says, "Look, I'm about to die. I'm going to die. So what is this birthright to me? If I die, the birthright won't help me at all." And Jacob said, "Swear to me of this day." So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. And Jacob gave Esau bread and stew of lentils. Then he ate and drank and arose and went his way. So we see Esau has no problem just letting go of his birthright. He despised his birthright, is what it says at the end of verse 34. He despised his birthright. You know, I mean, just think about that for a second. The birthright was everything back then. The birthright was not just physical. It was the spiritual headship of the home. Esau didn't care about that. All he cared about was hunting, food, obviously food. This food was more important to him than his birthright. And, you know, Esau has kind of a point there. If I'm dead, then, you know, what good is a birthright to me? But he wasn't even anywhere close to dying. That was drama there. Well, if I'm dead, then what is a birthright to me? That kind of attitude. We see that Esau makes this decision and then later on gets very angry when Jacob actually gets the birthright. I find that quite interesting. Esau gets very angry, but I think at that point, he cares. He does care more at that point because it represents power. It represents money. It represents, things that he then cares about, that he didn't care about back when he sold his birthright to Jacob. But he cares now, later on, he cares when the birthright actually goes to Jacob and he gets very angry with Jacob and he tries to kill Jacob. It's also interesting at this convergence conference that Dr. Malik brought out the idea of the spirit of Esau. And it's a three-faceted spirit. The spirit of Esau has at least three facets. One is violence, terrorism, violence, which we see happening today. The descendants of Esau are, and even those that are not directly of Esau, but they're part of the terror, that is the same spirit of Esau, where they are violent, they don't have any problems killing. In fact, they want to outright kill, especially those that are part of Jacob, those that are part of Israel. So we see that at work today, that spirit. And then there's another aspect of the spirit of Esau, which is political. And we see that spirit as well throughout the world today, basically working for basically working to get money, to acquire things, that being the focus as opposed to God. And then the third aspect of the spirit of Esau is really brought out in Hebrews when it talks about that Esau being not just that he despised his birthright, but he was sexually immoral. He just wanted not just sexually, but he was immoral in many ways. He just wanted whatever pleased his body at that time, whatever made him feel good. That's what Esau went after. And instead of recognizing that there are some things that are better if you wait on them, there are things that are better if you resist them for now because you may get even better later. Esau didn't care about any of that. You know, his birthright, he saw later, was a good thing and a means to an end, but by that time he had already let it go and it was taken from him. And so he got very angry and he had that spirit of anger, bitterness, violence, but also political. He knows how to turn on the charm, so to speak, but only to get his own way. He makes alliances with others, but never really friendships. And then finally, that attitude of getting whatever he wants, satisfying his flesh, satisfying his desires over anything else, that's the most important thing. So we see the spirit of Esau, and this is where it really begins, it really takes off. This is kind of a sad story. It kind of has ups and downs, but it's sad to think about, you know, the relationship that Jacob and Esau could have had as brothers if certain things hadn't happened in their life. But God uses, just like he uses things that happen in our life that are not so good, he uses this as well to further his kingdom and to further establish the line of the Messiah, which comes through Jacob and through Judah, one of Jacob's 12 sons. And, you know, so God uses this situation, as bad as it is, to bring, to bring his people to the place where they need to be. And Jacob is tested in many ways, and he passes the test when it comes to desiring the birthright, desiring to follow the Lord. He makes mistakes along the way, and those mistakes cost him. And that's the thing that I think we need to remember, is that our decisions have consequences. You know, Jacob's decision to trick his brother into selling him the birthright had a consequence in that relationship. Esau hated him and went after him for years trying to kill him. Esau's decision to accept the stew over the birthright. You know, Esau could have said, oh, come on, you're not going to make me sell my birthright. What kind of silliness is this? Either give me some stew or don't. I'll go make myself something if you're not going to give me stew. And it could have stopped right there. But instead, he agrees. You know, he's very, very, what's the word for it? Whatever satisfies me right now, that's what I want. Esau was... he didn't think through his answer. He didn't think through his decision and what he was planning to do. And the consequence of that is he lost the birthright. Ultimately, he lost the birthright. So I think where the takeaway from this is, for us as believers, first of all, let's not have that spirit of Esau, like it says in Hebrews, let none of you have that spirit of Esau that is sexually immoral and that desires to be satisfied, instead of actually being obedient to the Lord. If we have that attitude, we can get into big trouble. I believe there can even be, it could even be if you have that attitude today, that you are never really a believer, because the Holy Spirit, if the Holy Spirit is living within us, certainly won't have that attitude. So, those are just some things to think about as we close. There's a lot more to this Torah passage, to this Torah portion to read, and I would encourage you to look through that. And so that's about it. Thank you very much for joining me today. Father, we just pray that everything we talked about that came from you will remain in our minds and in our hearts. Anything that didn't, We just put it on your altar, and we thank you for your forgiveness and your grace and your mercy. And Father, help us not to be like Esau. Help us to be like Jacob, because even though Jacob deceived his brother, yet Jacob, he loved the birthright. Jacob wanted the birthright. Even though Esau may have despised it, Jacob wanted it. And so, Father, help us to have hearts like Jacob and not to have hearts like Esau, Lord. We just pray that you will do this to your glory and to your honor. Amen. Yivarecha Adonai v'yishmarecha, Ye'er Adonai p'nav elecha v'hunecha, Yisa Adonai p'nav elecha v'yisem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. In the name of Yeshua, our Messiah, the Prince of Peace. Amen.